So we're week three now, and our Advent teaching, under the larger umbrella of the entire year's teaching, Project Impact. So we've only got a couple weeks to do this. Get your friendly finger out. Not your driving finger. Your friendly finger. Point to your neighbor and say, you. No, come on. I'm louder than every single one of you put together. I say, you. That's what I'm talking about right there. You. We're made for impact. And so all year we've been giving our teaching over to the fact that you were made for impact. That's been the umbrella of teaching with a bunch of little series under that, upholding the fact that God did not make you to collect dust on the shelf, to live a meaningless existence. He made you to do something significant and awesome. So get your friendly finger out again and point to your neighbor and say, you're awesome. And say, God made you to be awesome. You're awesome. Somebody point at her and say, she's awesome. So here's the deal. God did not make you to be impactless. He made you to be impactful. And what we've been doing with that in mind for the Advent teaching series is we've been looking at how Jesus impacted people and how they responded to the impact he had on them. And when we look at how Jesus impacted people, two things happen. We get a glimpse at who God is. A glimpse of God, a reminder of who he is always good. And we have not seen in the past 2 weeks that we've been reminded who God is. We have not seen an angry God who's ready to smite people, have we? We've seen a kind and loving God, the source of joy, a God who's got the best interests of people at heart. He ain't no mean God. It's a good reminder. And so we get a glimpse of God and we get a gut check. So a glimpse of God and a gut check, because when we see people's response to Jesus' impact on them, it's a good time for us to say, time out, let me just look at myself, my own faith. Am I where maybe I need to be? Should I be growing? Should I be stretched? Something. So a glimpse of God and a gut check happens when we look at the impact Jesus had. Today, two different people groups. The first group, from the Gospel of Matthew, 2nd chapter, verse 1 and 2. I'm waiting for you to flip your Bibles open. Yep, I hear the pages rustling over here. Or I'm waiting for you to open up your iPod or your phone, because y'all need to be people of the Word, right? Don't let your word consumption simply come from me on Sunday. If you only get the word from me on Sunday, you're firmly malnourished. You need to be eating on your own. So get used to bringing a Bible. Get used to taking notes. Get used to this stuff. How many of you remember what I spoke on 3 weeks ago? I don't either, but it was life-changing. Only if we go back to it. So bring something to take notes, whether it's electronic or not. Get your Bibles out. Here it is, Matthew chapter 2. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, magi, or wise men, from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where's the one who's been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose, and we've come to worship him." Verse 11. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. They bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. The impact Jesus had on the magi, the wise men. Let me tell you something you might not know about these dudes, a little background information. Did you know that they were more than just wise dudes? Because of their vast knowledge of things scientific, their vast knowledge of astrology, the things of the stars, their vast knowledge of history. They were historical scholars. Say that twice. They loved history. They knew it all. And they were experts in the realm of mathematics, which right there tells me that I could never be an Old Testament magi. Math. But because of their vast knowledge, these guys, you might not know, were considered dignitaries of their people. Whenever there was another people group that needed to interact with their people group, they sent the magi. Because the magi were smarter than anybody and could interact on all kinds of levels. Because of their vast knowledge, not only were they dignitaries, they were held in the highest of regard, in the highest esteem in their culture. And because of this vast knowledge, the knowledge for them equaled wealth. People paid for knowledge. And you see that in the gifts they gave. Those are the gifts that you give to kings, frankincense, gold, and myrrh. So they were rich, and they were intellectual, and they were important. They were rich. They were intellectual. They loved the study of things. They were important. And yet, these magi, these smart guys, these rich guys, these scientific guys, in spite of having it all, they knew there had to be more than what they had. You see, they weren't content with the prestige of the position, with the pursuit of intellectual knowledge. They weren't content with just what they had, even though they had a lot by world standards. They knew intuitively that there had to be something more, and so they spent their time looking for something bigger and greater than themselves, and lo and behold, in their seeking for something bigger and better and beyond themselves, they found the king. And they found him because they saw his star. See, that in their studies, in their science, in their intellectuality, they found this thing that pointed to the Savior, and they went to him, and they found him. So what do we learn from these dudes, these wise men, these wise guys, these magi? We learn that no matter how many good things we have here on earth, there's more than good things here on earth. There's something bigger and beyond. But we learn something even better than that. We learn, and you also need to know that these guys were most likely from Egypt. They were not of God's people. They were not Hebrew. They were not Jewish. They were not Gentiles. In fact, many biblical scholars say they were of the occult, right? Worshiping and studying the stars. And yet when they were seeking for something bigger than themselves, not even knowing what they were seeking, but because they were seeking honestly, God revealed himself to them. Because God does not hide from those who seek. Okay, six of you are excited about that. Maybe the rest of you aren't hearing what I'm saying. God is not hidden. He does not make it difficult to find. He's ready to be found the moment anyone looks, even if that someone who's looking doesn't know what they're looking for. Let me tell you what Jeremiah says. Elbow your neighbor, say, listen to what Jeremiah says. No, tell them louder, they're not listening. Say, listen to what Jeremiah says. Jeremiah says, and you will seek me. He's talking on behalf of God. You will seek me and you'll find me. When you search for me with all your heart, you will seek me and you will find me when you seek with all your heart. We learn from the story of the Magi that God is not hidden to those who just look. Just look. You know what? That's good. Somebody say that's good. Here's what else we learn from these magi, these wise guys, these intellectuals. We realize that the intellect and things of faith go hand in hand. Intellect and science and study do not preclude a relationship with the King of Kings, with the Lord of Lords. In fact, these guys were the preeminent scholars and scientists of their day, and because they were scholars and scientists, they found Jesus. Now, that might fly in the face of what some have heard and some have said, and some of you might have thought. I've heard many people say, well, I'm scientific by nature, and I like to think things through, therefore I can't believe in God. Well, scientific was the way they functioned, and because they were scientific, they found God. Now, here's the deal. I have one brother, no sisters, one brother, 16 months older than me. He has a PhD. He had his PhD by the time he was 23 in the field of limnology. I will give a dollar to anybody who knows what limnology is. Anybody, what? That's not quite true, but it's close enough. Next week, I'll bring a dollar to you. It's microorganisms found in water. Well, that's close enough. I'll give her 75 cents next week, all right? That's awesome. And so, this dude is so dang smart. And in fact, he works out at Woods Hole in Massachusetts, and he's the United States representative to the United Nations on certain things, fisheries. So he flies all over the globe to bring fisheries advice because he knows about microscopic organisms. Now, I've written 5 books, and you know what? My 7-year-old daughter right up here, she can read these books. They're simple and easy. I read 3 pages of a book he wrote, felt like an idiot, couldn't understand a single word. My man has science ingrained in him. And yet, in large part, because he's a scientist, he's passionate in his love for Jesus. See, he knows what the Magi know, that science is not a hurdle to keep somebody from Jesus. He knows when he studies things intently, deeply, powerfully, wow, he can't help but be impressed that there's something bigger and beyond these amazing things that he's studying. We learn from the Magi that the intellect and faith go hand in hand. Even scientific intellect and faith can go hand in hand. So some of you might be, or some of you might know, folks who've had a struggle with science and faith reconciling. Just point them to the Magi. Well, let me see if we learn anything else from them. Oh. Yeah, God worships. Oh, yeah, here it is. One more thing. We learned that they had one response. These really rich dudes, really smart dudes, really prominent, influential dudes, when they got to the presence of Jesus, what did they do? I read it to you. Yeah. It says they worship and... See, this wasn't like lip service worship where you know the songs and you sing. Ah. It wasn't lip service worship. It was full body worship where they worshiped, gave, and bowed. They worshiped, they gave, and they bowed. Because these dudes, even though they had, from a worldly perspective, they had it all, they knew that Jesus was worthy of their worship. And so they bowed. Okay, so here comes maybe the gut check time. We know through the counsel of the rest of scriptures that when Jesus left the earth, he left that third part of the Trinity, that other aspect of God known as the Holy Spirit. And God is here through the Holy Spirit, the comfort of the counselor. The presence of God is in the house because the Spirit of God is in the house. The Bible says where two or three are gathered, he is there in his midst. Let's check. One, two, three. This row alone has got that covered. Therefore, we know the Spirit of God is in the house. These Magi, when they're in the presence of God, all they could do was fall on their face and worship. And what do when we come to worship? We're in his presence. Now you just got to sort this one out on your own. Do we just sit and go through the motions of worship, or are we on our faces, whether literally or figuratively, before the king because only he is worthy of worship? Do we understand what they understood? That Jesus is not somebody you just go and entertain for an hour, hour and a half on a Sunday morning. Do we understand what they understood, that Jesus is not something you just kind of compartmentalize to parts of your day and parts of your week, and we just sometimes go, it's not something, Jesus is not something to just sit and stare through. They could only bow and worship. What do you do? Now, if I was you and not me, A, I would have hair. I'm a little mad about that. And B, I would take a note and ask myself, what do I do in the presence of Jesus? And then I would take some time to pray and think and process this over the week. But I'm not you. So what will you do? That's the shepherds. This would be halftime. We're halfway through the teaching. That was a halftime break. Now we're moving into the third quarter. There's another group of people that we need to look at, quite different than these wealthy, rich dudes. You know, I hope that the teaching of the wealthy, the intellectual, the guys who kind of had it all together was inspiring, because that might describe some of you in here. But for some of you who are downtrodden, who are the low man or woman on the totem pole, who don't have two pennies to rub together, you know, finances are something others have to worry about because you ain't got any to worry about. Some of you just are poor. And you know what it is to be outcast. So when you think of these Magi who have it all, you can't relate. Maybe you can relate to these dudes. And there were shepherds, Luke chapter 2, verse 8. There were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. Jumping down to verse 15. And when the angel had left them, the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, hey, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. So they hurried off and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. Let me tell you some things about shepherds. First of all, you need to know they stink. Pew. How many of you ever like been close to like a sheep before with all of its wool, big and fluffy? Stinky and oily. How many of you have pet my dog Barkley? He stinks. I mean, he's got all that thick fur, no matter how many times I brush him or spray him or wash him, it's just thick and it stinks. It's about 1/10 as dense as of the wool of a sheep. They stinkier. I take Barkley for multiple walks during the day, and you know, he will sit when I'm walking, and I will often pet him behind the ears with my glove. And then I'll get an itch on my face. Ugh. You see, the stink transfers. So I throw my gloves in the wash, and they still stink. You just can't get the stink off. Shepherds were stinky. And because of that, and because of the nature of the work, it was dirty, nasty, lonely, long, grueling work. They were considered kind of less than in the culture that they were in. It wasn't a prestigious job to be had. To say that they were grunt, blue-collar laborers would be incredibly accurate. And there were actually, according to the Jewish Talmud, which was a book they used to kind of help them in their faith, to guide them and direct them, there's some things that I want to read to you that talked about the shepherds. The shepherds were not allowed in the courts to be witnesses. So a shepherd could have seen a thing go down, and they could have, their testimony could have changed the outcome of the judgment on that thing, but the judge would not care because the shepherd was so lowly and stinky and second class, he was not even allowed in the presence of the courts. And according to the Talmud instructs that no one is to give help to heathens, that's ungodly people, or to shepherds. Didn't matter how godly the shepherd was, they were lumped in with the ungodly pagan who was far from God. You couldn't assist either because they both were just below your recognition. And the shepherds, according to Jewish custom and tradition, they weren't even allowed to go into the temple to worship because they were so stinky and ceremonially unclean. In our day and age, they wouldn't even be allowed in a church because they just, not a shepherd. But they were Jewish, God's chosen, Hebrew, Israelites. Couldn't be more different than the Magi who had all things going, weren't of God's people. These guys had nothing going, and yet they were God's people. They had it stinky. And God revealed himself to the guys who had things going on by a star. That's pretty cool that God gave them a star, right? That they could find Jesus through a star. You know, they were looking in the heavens and they were looking for something beyond themselves and they found a star which pointed to Jesus. That's awesome. But he didn't do that for the shepherds because sometimes when life just beats you down, you're not even looking for things bigger and beyond yourself. Sometimes life is just so heavy and stinky and it's a rut. It's not a groove, it's a rut you can't get out of, and you get up and you go to work, and you go and ends are barely meeting, and you're not remotely thriving, you're just barely surviving. And when life is like this, guess what you can't look up and see? Star. And so to these people who are just downtrodden and beat, the less than, the low on the totem pole, the stinky, the outcast, the second-class citizens, God didn't give them a star to show Jesus. God did something extra special for them. He sent them an angel to the lowly ones. A powerful being is better than any star. And when they're looking down, they couldn't help but see the bright, burnishing feet of the angels. And after they were done pooping their pants because they were scared, God gave them an introduction. The Bible says, then a heavenly host gathered around the one angel. And God was kind because had the heavenly host showed up at one time, boom, they all would have died of a heart attack of fear. You see, God gave the wealthy, the guys who had it all together, a star because they could look up, but to those who couldn't look up, God gave an introduction that was even greater than a star. It was a host of angels singing the praises of the Lord just to the downtrodden. It is Rod. Do you think they're listening? Because some of you are downtrodden. And some of you are broken and barely surviving. And we learn from the story of the shepherds that God has a special place in his heart for those who are the low man or low woman on the totem pole. And that God wanted the low ones, the poor ones, he wanted them so much to know about Jesus that he sent a boatload of angels to tell them about it. And so if you are one of the downtrodden, one of the outcasts, one of the second class, one of the stinky ones, I want you to know that Jesus has a special place for you in his heart. Somebody else say amen. That's good news. Y'all hear me on this? Yeah. It's good to be wealthy if you're a magi because you get a sign of your own, but it's better to get a host of angels coming to you personally. God cares for the underdog. Because Jesus wanted to make sure the underdog got it. You know, I wonder if the shepherds would have been able to say, yeah, there's a star, but that's not for me. I can't really read stars. I'm not smart enough to read stars. I can't afford people to pay them to read the stars. I can't. So I wonder if they were just thinking it's not for me. But God said, no, we can't have that thinking. We can't have them miss it. I'm going to send them a boatload of angels so that they get the point that Jesus is for the poor as much as he is for the rich, maybe even more so for the poor than he is for the rich. Are you hearing? And so the response that these dudes, these second class low men on the totem pole, their response, what was their response? What is it? Do you remember? I read it to you. Blah, 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 blah. Blah, 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 blah. They saw Jesus and they couldn't shut up about it. They were so pumped about the whole thing, the Savior taking on a diaper for them, that they couldn't shut up about it. The rich ones could only worship, but the poor ones could only talk about it. They could only go and tell people. And the Bible says that when people heard what the shepherds said, they were amazed. So the gut check during the Magi part of the teaching, remember back in the first and second quarter, what's your response? Do you worship like they do? Well, the gut check here is they couldn't shut up. Do you? You know, I believe the Lord is going to use us to have thousands of people worshiping him someday through the river. But it won't happen until you go the way of the shepherd. I'll say that again. Until you go the way of the shepherd. Until you know this Jesus so well that it excites you so much that you can't shut up about what he's doing. And until we get to a place as his followers where, like the shepherds, we just go, blah, blah, blah. God's doing this. Jesus did this. He's awesome. I'm saved. I once was captive. Now I'm set free. Until we cannot shut up, we'll just remain a nice-sized church. But when we get the lesson of the shepherd, there's going to be a multiplication effort of God's kingdom through the river. So don't shut up. Open up and talk. Because he's good. He's really good. He's got a thing for the wealthy. And he's got a thing for the poor. He's got a thing for the highly educated. And he's got a thing for the uneducated. He's got a thing for them white-collar workers. And he's got a thing for the blue-collar laborers. He's got a thing for people. What will you do with the impact Jesus had on the shepherds and the Magi?